Well, good morning, everyone. You know, I get ready for these series and going on, and always think about how to begin that. They always talk about having a hook. You know, like kind of like fishing, having a hook, something to really grab your attention. And today, I don't know if it's so much a hook, but it's something that really came to my mind when I was getting ready for today's message. And as a young boy, I remember my parents watching a television game show called Let's Make a Deal. You guys know that show? You know, they even have a newer version of it now. Now, as an old person, I don't think the newer version's as good as the old one, but that's me. Isn't it amazing sometimes how we older people always think that the past was always better? But they have a new one on Let's Make a Deal. And you remember on this show where a person would have a choice between a number of doors or curtains that they could win a prize. So all they have to do is they would say, well, I want door number one or door number two or door number three. And depending upon the number of doors, it was what you could win. There was always one door that had the grand prize, you know, that brand new car, that excellent vacation, some great prize that everybody just looked at and went, wow, I wish I could have that. Those are the things that I remember. And some of the prizes, well, like we said, were very good, but also some of those prizes were not so good. They would have a certain amount of prize or product that they would have that they would then take a deal and say, well, I want this door, and give up what they had in hand. And sometimes they would have a large or a very good product or object in their hands, and all of a sudden they would choose a door and they would get one that was just, well, we called it a zonko because it was just terrible, or at least it was not worth what they had already in hand. But they would have a choice. They would have a choice and they would have a chance. And life is full of choices and chances, isn't it? We live a life here that we have to make a choice. Well, we make choices daily. You know, you get out of bed and, well, you have a choice. You have a choice whether to stay in bed, stay at home, or maybe go to church. You have a choice. You have a choice on what you're going to do throughout your day of your life. Some of the choices that you make, well, for every choice that you make, usually there's a chance. Chance something will happen here, chance something will happen there. And sometimes you just don't really know what's going to happen. That's taking a chance. Well, that's kind of like life. It's full of choices and chances. And some of those choices we make lead to very good circumstances. And some of the choices that we make lead, well, to not very good circumstances. They lead to trouble in life, or they lead to something that, well, we'd rather not be there. But that's the way life is, full of choice and chance. We have doors that we need to walk through. Some of those doors that we walk through when we make our chance are full of, well, heartache, suffering, maybe even a little bit of sadness in there. Some choices that we make lead us somewhere really good where we're full of joy, happiness, and peace. But these are all chances and choices that we make on a daily basis. And very few of those doors that we get to take advantage of or choose on come with a guarantee. We don't get a lot of guarantees in life, do we? But there's a particular door which is available to us where we are guaranteed an outcome. That you're told that if you choose this door, this is what you're going to get. It's a guarantee of the outcome. And we like guarantees. We like guarantees. And this guarantee, this choice comes from Jesus in the next I am statement that he makes that we have been going through. We can either choose to follow Jesus' advice and choose the door and get the guarantee that he's talking about, or we can choose not to follow Jesus and take our chances with whatever's behind door number three. Well, And I guess you guys are kind of wondering, well, what statement is that? What is he talking about, this door, this, you know, particular way of going that guarantees me something in life? And I thought you would never ask. So if you have your Bibles with you this morning, we're going to continue in the book of John, where John is writing down everything that Jesus is talking about and how it's been revealed to him through the Holy Spirit. And we're going to jump over to chapter 10. And in there, we're going to look at the next statement that Jesus says about himself, which comes in verses 9 and 10. In verse 9, he starts off with, "I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture." But he doesn't stop there. He goes into verse 10. He says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." This is the guarantee. This is the guarantee if Jesus says, "I am the gate." Some of you in your Bibles may say that "I am the door," but I would tell you to, instead of putting a door or a gate in there, just put the word entrance. Jesus is saying, "I am the entrance. If you would choose me, you will have life." And not only have life, but he says in here that you would have life to the full. Doesn't that really mean something, to have life to the full? Doesn't it really mean something for Jesus to say that "I am the entrance"? What is he really talking about when he says, "I am the entrance"? Jesus is saying that anybody that comes through him belongs there. That you belong in the place that I'm showing to you. Anybody that belongs in a particular place, if you have a legitimate means or reason to be there, don't you usually enter through the proper door? If you're going into your house, how do you get into your house? You go through the door, right? Most of you don't choose to climb through the window anytime that you go home. The only time you really choose to climb through the window is when you lock the door and forget your keys. And then you have to find another way in. But most of the time, it's like, "I'm going through the door." If you guys are going into a business, how do you get into a business? You usually walk through the front door, right? If you walk through the back door, if you walk in a different way, don't you get some funny looks? It's like, "Why are you coming in that way?" Most of you would not choose to enter your vehicle by climbing through the trunk. You enter through the doorway. You open the door, you get in, you close the door even behind you. But you entered through the proper means. You entered, and that means that because you got in that way, you probably have some legitimacy being there. You have a reason for being there. And it's legitimate, and that's what Jesus is talking about. If you're going to go to heaven, you need to enter through the entrance, right? You need to go through the entrance. And to enter into heaven, Jesus Christ is that entrance. There is no other entrance beside Jesus. In fact, Jesus does not even give an indication that there can be even another way to get in there. If you would look back in your Bibles at the scripture in John where it says that "I am the gate." In fact, there's two places in scripture where it says, Jesus says, "I am the gate" in verse 7 and verse 9. I am the gate. He doesn't tell us that "I am a gate." No, "I am the gate." That is the only way. In fact, Jesus goes so far as to be bold and say that if you try to enter in any other way, you're being misled. There are other paths, there are other gates, there are other doors, there's other entrances that you can be traveling in life. But he says if you're traveling on these, then you're traveling the wrong path. You're going through the wrong entrance. In Matthew, and writing down and remembering what Jesus had said during his time of ministry here, wrote that very statement that Jesus told us that there are different paths. In the Gospel of Matthew, he says in there in chapter 7, starting with verse 13, he says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction." And he said, "Many enter through it." says, but small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. I look at these statements and I think about the people I know in my life. I think about our community, our country. I think about the world. And I look at the statement that Jesus just made there, that wide is the gate and the path that lead to destruction and desolation. Sometimes I find it in my heart that I'm sad. I'm grieved to such a point that it produces tears, that there are so many that travel this wide path and take the wide gate. Because narrow is the gate and narrow is a path that leads to life. Brings my mind back to that Let's Make a Deal show. Well, there's only one door that has the grand prize. And the other doors, well, they might have prizes, but it's not the prize that you want. It's not the grand prize. It's something that might last a little bit, but it won't last a lifetime. And this is what Jesus is truly talking about, as he's offering a prize that will last a lifetime. And he says, take this path because it's a guarantee. I equate it sometimes to even driving through small communities. You ever heard the saying that, well, don't blink or you'll miss it? You know? I grew up in a town of about 3 houses. You probably can't even find it on the map anymore. It's called Tyconic, Iowa. Tyconic. And I'm telling you, there was 3 houses and a church in this town. And it was one of those where it was the joke that, hey, if you blink, you'll miss it. But this town held such richness, such beauty in its people and culture in the area. I kind of think of Inwood sometimes in that regard. Before I moved to Inwood, I had no idea that there was such a caring community here. I had no idea that there was such a celebration of 4th of July that I've seen now for going on, well, 4 years of people coming together and celebrating the independence of our country and having such a good time and coming together and throwing things together, of being able to serve each other to such a way that people from all over drive down to Inwood to see what's there, to experience what they can only experience here. That's the way I think of it. Now that I live here, I might be a little bit biased, but you'll have to forgive me for that. But it's true. I've been around. I've lived in many different areas in the United States, and I can tell you for a fact that's true. Maybe you guys can think of, well, a location other than Inwood that, you know, holds something very dear in your heart that you can remember like that. Somewhere very dear. Just like Jesus is telling you, this is a very dear place. This is a very entrance to where you can go and not only have life, but you can have life to the full. That's a great, great thing. Because Jesus desires for us to have life. Jesus desires for us to have life so much that he went to a cross and he was beaten and hung on it and died so that we could have this opportunity of life. So we could have this guarantee of life. Again, we don't get many guarantees, but this is a guarantee that is there. He says, when you believe in me, and you confess that I had died and rose again, you are guaranteed this life. You have chosen this particular entrance. I am the gate, he says. And this is why we need to choose Jesus. This is why that sometimes I think about all the others in the world that have not chosen Jesus, and it grieves me so, because they do not have the fullness of life that is available to everybody. It's available to everybody, but not everybody will choose it. Some people choose the wide path. And you can choose life, or you can choose the alternative. And the alternative is the thief. The thief that comes to what? To steal, to kill, to destroy. The one that comes to actually not give you life, but take your life. And nobody likes a thief. Nobody wants to have a thief in their house, right? And in chapter 10 of John, in verse 10, it talks about how the thief comes to do those things. I'm not just making this up. I'm just repeating. I'm saying, I'm enunciating what God has put in His Word, that this thief will come. This thief will come to steal and kill and destroy. We don't like that. We put locks on our houses. We lock up our cars. We put our valuables in safety deposit box because we don't want a thief to come and take something that is dear to us. We do that because we are worried that someone will come with bad intentions to steal, to kill, or destroy. We purchase alarm systems for our cars. We purchase alarm systems for our houses. We put up cameras just because we're afraid, we're worried that somebody will do exactly what Jesus is talking about here in this verse. We do those things, but often we don't pay attention to the biggest thief of all, the biggest thief that there ever could be in the world that wants to come and take your life away from you, away from Jesus. We're talking about the great deceiver, Lucifer himself, that will come and say, hey, I'm going to offer you door number 2 and door number 3. But they don't guarantee life. They don't even really give you a good prize. That's the zonko. That's the bad prize. And Lucifer knows this because Lucifer cannot get into heaven through the proper entrance anymore. It's not available to him. Oh, he sneaks in every once in a while and he'll have a little conversation with God where God puts up with whatever he's got going on, knowing that it's foolishness of what Satan's trying to do, that great deceiver. But God understands that he is there to take what actually belongs to him. He's there to take away the life, the spirit of his children. He is so good at deceiving us and making us think that we have another option other than Jesus. The devil creates other entrances for us to take all the time. You ever notice that? Sometimes when we're not satisfied in life, we look at other ways. Maybe it's alcohol. Maybe it's drugs. Maybe it's food. Maybe it's pornography. Maybe it's just too much television. Maybe it's our hobbies. Whatever it might be, Satan provides a way to take your attention off the proper entrance into heaven to say, I have another path that will take you just somewhere just as good. But that's the way that he deceives us. That's his cunningness in trying to get us to do something so he could steal what belongs to us and what ultimately belongs to God. And that's our soul. You know, he's good at counterfeit. He really is. In fact, counterfeits can be so good that the world is actually built on a counterfeit system. There's a counterfeit system in the world. You ever bought something that you thought was original and all of a sudden you find out that it was fake? It was a counterfeit. You ever been there? I've been there. It's like, oh, this is a really good deal. I need to buy this. Can you look at this? This is on sale. This is on sale. So I'm going to purchase it right here. And all of a sudden I get it in. And it's like, this thing is, well, it's not original. It's weak. It's a counterfeit. It's fake. In fact, there is such an industry in the world of counterfeits that it makes $2 trillion annually. That's a $2 trillion with a T industry in the world annually, every year. Folks, that's more than the deficit for the United States in 2025. So you can't tell me that counterfeits aren't convincing. You can't tell me that counterfeit that Satan would dangle in front of us isn't sometimes convincing, because it is. But the Lord has given us a way of spotting counterfeits. And he says, if you take the true entrance, you will be safe from all of this. You will have life. Sometimes what we are shown can give us a false sense of security, a false sense of blinding us to what is really going on, a false sense of the idea of what Jesus is truly offering to us. A lot of times that you talk about how Jesus, and if somebody on the outside of the world talks about Jesus, all they think of is rules. All they think of is something that we can't do. And there is. There's rules. Our God is a God of order, and he likes to have rules because he wants order, because he wants us to have something special. He just says, live like this, and you are guaranteed this. Live like this, and you're guaranteed this. You know, God is the only one that can give us a guarantee, and you can know for a fact it's going to happen. But we live in a world where we seem blind at times. But Jesus says, if you give your life to me, I will see that you have life to the fullest, that you will have an opportunity to live forever in eternal life. If we choose Jesus, we are given this fullness of life. When I was looking up the words for fullness in my Bible and stuff, the Greek word is parousos. Parousos is a Greek word for fullness, for full. And when you look up the meaning of that word, it actually talks about how it says that it's beyond measure, that it's surpassing, that it's something better. And this is what Jesus does. He offers us something better. He guarantees a life of being better and a life, period. It's not a guarantee a life of comfort. It's not a guarantee of a long life. It's a guarantee of a life of contentment, a life of satisfaction, a life of advantage in Jesus. He's talking about a spiritual life. He's not talking about a physical life. He's talking about your spirit and your spiritual life, both now and well beyond. And Jesus is that entrance, and he's the only entrance. But there's one caveat that comes to it. One caveat that Jesus says, he says, you must come to me. You must come to me and enter through me. And it's simple. It really is simple. You walk forward. You come up to Jesus. You knock on the door. He opens it up, and you step in. People would tell you, well, that's really hard to do, but it's not. You walk through doors all day long. You walk into the door of your house. You walk in through the door to your car. You walk in through the door to the business. Same thing. Come up, knock on the door, wait for him to open it, and then step in. And then you're guaranteed something. What are you guaranteed? Life. It's a very simple, simple thing to do. But we can make it so difficult. We can make it so difficult. But until you do that, until you step into the doorway, it can be very imposing. Think about a gate to a castle. A gate made of wood and wrought iron. It's to hold back the forces coming against it, right? And if you're on the outside of that door and you look at it, doesn't that seem a little bit imposing? Doesn't it seem like it's an obstacle in your path to where you want to be? An obstacle because maybe you don't want to get in there the way in which the king wants you to enter? The king is asking you, just give your life to me. And you can come and you can go as you want. And you will be fed and you will find safety. You will have a life and a life to its fullness. But there's many people out in life, in the world, that make it very difficult to get in here. And when they look at that door, they look at it as that obstacle. Because they want to live their lives the way they want to live their lives, yet they want the reward at the end. They want to be able to do what they want to do, right? Sometimes we want to do what we want to do. I am guilty of it. And anybody here that says they're not guilty of it, it's like, well, I hope you're truthful. And I hope it's that way because I need to learn some things from you. We all like to live the way we want to live. But Jesus says, live the way I want you to live and you are guaranteed life. You are guaranteed something that will just be well beyond what you can even think of. For some of us, it's easy. For some of us, not so much. And it reminds me about a story. You got time for a short story? Real short. Reminds me of a story of just a couple weeks ago here in town. I was in a local business and they were making food in the kitchen area. And I overheard a conversation two of them were having. And they were having a bad day. And I think they were doing it in kind of a joking way. Well, one of them said, Jesus, help me. Now, I wish that statement would have been true for whatever was going on. But then I heard another person go, well, he won't help me because he doesn't like me. And then this person that actually made that statement said, well, he doesn't like me either. How misled are people into thinking that Jesus does not like them? How deceived are people by Satan in thinking that Jesus does not have life for them just because we need to live in a way that is good and wholesome for us? I thought about these people, and I wish I would have had a chance to just pray with them, to be able to tell them that what you're believing is a lie. That Jesus is an entrance for everybody. But few take it. Few of us do. They would rather believe a life of lies and being misled instead of choosing life and striding through that open door where Jesus stands and waves, say, come on in. Come on in. This is for you. I've got this for you. You know, we'll talk about this a little bit more next week. But when Jesus is standing at the gate and he says, I am the gate, he's leading the gate to the sheepfold, right? The sheep pen. Where the sheep come in and they find safety. They find nourishment. And even the sheep are able to come and go. But as long as they always know the shepherd, we'll get to that next week. They are allowed in there and they find that comfort of life. They find life itself. And this is a place where life is in abundance. But the only way to get into the sheep pen is through that gate. If you're coming in any other way, you don't belong there. And people are automatically going to assume that you're there to steal, kill, and destroy. And nobody likes that. And for us, Jesus is the one and only entrance to heaven. You can take many paths, but there's only one entrance. There's only one path for Jesus. Only one pathway to heaven. And I pray that we would all choose that. And it's a place where we can come in and we can find joy, we can find hope, we can find happiness, we can find peace. We can find all those things, not only when we're in heaven, but even a little bit here on earth. We find those areas of life, those moments in life of just being with Jesus, of having Holy Spirit inside of us and giving us exactly what we need so we can live life to the fullest in abundance. So I want to leave you with this to think about. My question is, and it's not only for you here in this building, it's for anybody else out there that might hear this message online or somewhere later. Do you know this Jesus? Do you know this one entrance into heaven? Do you truly know him? And is he the entrance that you're trying to use? Is he the entrance that you're choosing right now in this life? Or is there another way you're trying to get in? If you're here today and you're worried about what entrance you're trying to take, now's the time just to pray. Now's the time to come to Jesus. Now's the time to talk to him and say, Jesus, I know that you're the one true entrance and I want to walk through the door. So as we go about our busy lives, as we go about wondering if we have life, don't wonder about life. Just choose the correct entrance. Choose the one entrance, and that's Jesus Christ. So my blessing for you today is that you would all know in your heart that you have chosen Jesus as your way into heaven, the one true way. And if you know somebody else that is perhaps confused or trying to find another way in, what an opportunity for us to just, well, talk to them and say to them, Jesus is life. So I'm going to ask you to stand. And as we stand and we're going to celebrate in music as we end the service for this morning, I want you to think about the question I posed to you. And I will give an opportunity later. I'm going to ask some very special people again to come up later on, and Pastor Jess is going to join us, that we would be here for each other. We would pray for each other. And if you know your life is already given to Jesus, that's fantastic. And you have something else that you need to pray about, that you want to pray about, and you want somebody to pray with you, I invite you to come up. Because we are a family together, and family prays for each other and with each other. Okay? Let's worship the Lord again.